In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." The word amen is a Hebrew word. It's used in many different languages, and basically it has the same meaning in every single language that it's used in. But it's a Hebrew word that means true, faithful, certain. And when we say at the end of our prayers, amen, what we're saying is, God, we want it to happen. We want it to be certain. We want it to be true. Sometimes when I'm preaching, some folks will shout out, amen. And what they're saying when they say that word amen, that's true, that's right, that's certain. Now, this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to remind you of some things that you and I can say amen about. We can say amen about these things because they're true, they're right, they're certain. I just have several things, and again, I'll share them with you real quickly. Number one, you can say amen to the truth that all men are sinners. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, when I compare myself to Brother Dick, or I compare myself to somebody else, I might be able to say, hey, I'm not such a bad guy. I mean, Brother Dick's a good guy, but there may be some things about me that are better than him. And there may be some things about him that are better than me. So if we look at each other and we judge ourselves by each other, we may say, hey, we're not such bad people. But the Bible says that we're not to use each other to judge ourselves. That's why that verse says, "For all have come short of the glory of God." When we measure ourselves to judge ourselves, the one that we ought to be looking at is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at Him, and when we see the truth that is in Him, and the righteousness that is in Him, then we have nothing else to say but, "I am a sinner. I fall short of His glory." In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "If we keep the whole law in every point, and yet offend in just one, we are guilty of all." You see, God gave us the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus. Honor thy father and mother. Have no other gods before me. Honor the Sabbath day. And you can, don't lie. And just the Ten Commandments, the Bible says, if we keep them in all points. In other words, if I keep 9 out of the 10, hey, that's a 90% average. I would pass in school if I got 90%. In the major leagues, if you hit 900, if you had a batting average of 900, if you got 9 out of 10 hits, nine times you came up to bat, if you got 9 hits out of 10, they would pay you multiple of millions of dollars. But you know what the Bible says? Somebody that gets a 90%, somebody that keeps a law in 9 out of 10 points and only breaks one, they are guilty of all. That makes us a sinner. And so I say amen this morning to what, when the Bible says, "All men are sinners, count me in, I am one." Or, "I is one," as Brother Leonard would say after getting back from down south. I is one. I'm a sinner. I've broken the law not only in one point, but in many points. And I stand before God and say amen that I'm a sinner this morning. It's certain, it's right. Number two, I say amen to what the Bible says, that there's a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And by the way, we wouldn't want God to be any other way. We want a God that punishes sin. We want a God that holds us to a standard. If we had a God that would say, "Hey, I'll let you buy with this one, and I'll let you buy with this one, and I'll let you buy with this one," that wouldn't be much of a God to us. We want a God that will hold us and to what He says in this book, punish sin. And so when God says the wages of sin is death, I'm glad He does, because that's the kind of God I want. I want a God that will hold people accountable for their actions. I don't like it when people commit a crime and get away with it. I want them to be punished. I want justice to be done. And I'm glad that we've got a God that's a just God that will punish sin and reward right. So I say amen that there's a penalty for sin. Number three, I say amen to what the truth the Bible teaches, that Jesus paid the penalty for me. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, I like that. I say amen to that. It's certain, it's right. While I was yet a sinner, I mean, I'm glad God didn't wait till I turned over a new leaf. I'm glad God didn't wait until I cleaned up my life. I'm glad God didn't wait until I deserved Jesus to go to the cross and die for me. I'll tell you what, if God waited for any of those, I'd still be lost and on my way to hell. He didn't send Jesus to die on the cross because I was such a good guy. He didn't send Jesus to die on the cross because I turned over a new leaf. He didn't send Jesus to die on the cross because I deserved it. I was a rotten sinner when He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He did it because He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. Greater love hath no man than this, the Bible says, and he will lay down his life for a friend. And when I was the enemy of God, when I stood for everything He stood for, when I was in total disagreement to what God said, when I deserved it in no form or fashion, He sent Jesus to die in my place. He sent Jesus to pay my penalty. He sent Jesus to suffer my hell for me. And I say amen to that. Number four, I say amen to the fact that salvation is a gift. I didn't deserve it when Jesus died for me. And I rejoice in that. Because if He waited until I deserved it, He would never come. But something else that makes me happy, I'm glad I don't have to pay Him back. I'm glad that I don't have to purchase salvation. You see, I don't know how I could do it. I don't know how I could pay the price for Jesus dying for me. I don't think I could be good enough. I don't think I could pay enough money. I don't think I could do enough good service. I have no idea if God said, hey, I'm gonna send my Son to die for you, but you're going to have to pay for it. How would I do it? I have no idea. I'm glad, therefore, that Jesus did make it a gift. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the choir sang a song a moment ago. Every time I think about it, it just makes me praise God. Why should Jesus love us so? Why should He? I mean, I can look at my life. There's nothing about my life that would deserve Him loving me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We sing a song, and I can't even remember the name of the song, but it's for sinners such as I. Why would He die for sinners such like me? Because He loved me. Because He loved me. That's why He did it. Salvation is a gift. Then number five, I say amen to the fact that all you have to do is take it. All you have to do is take it. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to pay for it, Brother Earl, because I don't have enough money. I can't be good enough. I'm glad that Jesus said, hey, all you have to do to get salvation is take it. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm glad all I have to do, that gift of salvation that Jesus holds out to me, He says, hey, bud, all you have to do is take it and receive it. Today is Easter, the day we celebrate the resurrection. And here's what I'd like you to do for the next 5 minutes, just 7 minutes till, and I promise you I'll be done by noon. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to make Easter personal this morning. I know when you came this morning, many of you came because it was Easter. Many of you came because you felt that because it is Easter, you need to be in church, and that's good, and I'm glad you did. But I want you to make the message of Easter personal today. I know you didn't come to get insulted, and I don't mean to hurt anybody, but I want you to make it personal. So let me just make these five statements a different way. Number one, you are a sinner. Every single person in this room this morning, you are a sinner. Don't compare yourself to me, because you'll be a lot better in that comparison. You compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless, righteous Son of God, who never did one evil deed, thought one evil thought, went one evil place. He was righteous and perfect. When you compare yourself to Him, you will have to say, "Hey, preacher, that statement is true. I say amen about myself. I am a sinner." There's a penalty for your sin. That penalty is hell. And I know hell is not a popular topic to talk about today, but let me tell you something, folks. Hell is real. Just because we quit talking about it and just because we quit preaching about it, hell is still real. It was a place prepared for Satan. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where every single person that doesn't know God is going to end up one day in hell. It's a real place. It's the penalty for our sin. Jesus paid the price for your sin. Listen to me. Brother Dick said it in Sunday school. If you were the only sinner, if Romans 3:10, there is none righteous but you. Romans 3:23, for all are good except you. If you were the only sinner on the face of the whole earth, Jesus Christ would have come and died just for you. When you say John 3:16, don't say, "For God so loved the world." Say, "For God so loved Lorne Dale that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Lorne Dale would believe in Him, he should not perish." Amen, Brother Lorne. Amen. Put your name in there. Make it personal. "For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you will believe in Him," you don't have to go to hell. "Ye shall not perish, but you can have everlasting life." He offers to you as a gift. Just like I can't pay for it, you can't pay for it. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good things. You can't pay enough money. You can't join a church. You can't get baptized. You can't take the Lord's Supper. I mean, you can't clean up your act. I don't care. But the Bible says, like we talked about in Sunday school, it's not of works. It's nothing that we can do with our hands, with our feet, with our tongue, with our bodies. It's not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's a gift. All you have to do is take it. Take it. I ran across a story this week in my reading. I hadn't seen it for a long, long time, about a man that was talking to a teenage boy about receiving Christ, about doing the same thing that I'm going to ask many of you to do this morning, to just take Jesus, just to receive Him. And the man had gone through the same scriptures that I went through today, and he got to the point. He said, "Young man, wouldn't you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior? Wouldn't you like to take that gift of salvation?" And the teenager said, "No, I don't think so. I don't think I would." And so the man said to the teenager, "Well, hell, let me help you. Let me ask you a question. If Satan came to you today and said, 'Hey, I'm going to give you $2 million, and for that $2 million, I want you the rest of your life to reject Jesus. I'm going to give you $2 million, and for the rest of your life, anytime any preacher or anybody else asks you to receive Christ, take that gift, I want you to say no.' Would you do that?" And the teenager said, "No way. Even for $2 million, I will not risk going to hell." And a man says, "Okay, if you won't do it for $2 million, what if Satan came to you and said, 'I will make you famous. I'll make you a baseball player, and everybody will know your name, or I'll make you a rock star, and everybody will idolize you and have your picture in their room. And all I want from you is for you forever, for you for the rest of your life, anybody talks to you about Jesus, you say no. Just say no. And I'll make you famous.' Would you do that?" And the teenager said, no, no way. I'm not going to risk going to hell just to be famous. Someday I'm going to receive Christ. I just don't want to do it today. Someday, maybe next week or maybe next year, but sometime I'll receive Christ. But if Satan came to me today and offered me $2 million, I would say, and to say no for the rest of my life, I would say, no way, Satan, I don't want to go to hell. And if Satan said, I'll make you famous, I'd say, no way, I don't want even for fame to go to hell. I'll receive Christ sometime. And Satan, and the man said, well, what if Satan came and said, hey, I'll give you a Corvette, a red one, a convertible with a V8. And I can't go any further because that's the limit of my mechanical abilities. But a souped-up Corvette, red convertible. All you got to do is say no to Jesus for the rest of your life. Would you do that? And the teenager said, no, you don't understand. I don't want to go to hell. Someday I'll make the decision to receive Christ. And the man looked at the teenager and said, okay, let me tell you something then. Satan's getting you for nothing. He's getting you for nothing. Because the only time you have to receive Christ is today. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised next week. You're not promised next year. Satan's getting your soul today for nothing if you walk out those doors having heard the gospel, not receiving Christ. Let me ask you this morning sincerely as I know how. It's just now 12 o'clock and I'm going to quit. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you've never said, Jesus, I receive what you did on Calvary to take care of my sins. And today I'm making that decision. I'm making the decision to receive Christ. I'm asking you, if you've never done that, to do it right now. To do it this very moment, this very time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple salvation message. We're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. But Jesus died in our place. He paid the price of our sin. He bore it to Calvary. And this morning, he offers to every single person that gift of salvation. I pray, Father, right now there would be many that would say, I want it. I'll take it. I'll receive it. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want Satan to get me. I want to receive Christ.